You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A brief program note. Join Neil Conan and his guests on the next Talk of the Nation on Monday in this hour for a look at what has changed in international politics since the fall of Baghdad. For the rest of this hour today, Iraqi art and artifacts. Yesterday, the UN Educational, Science, and Cultural Organization convened in Paris to discuss a different kind of tragedy that is happening in Iraq. That is the widespread looting that has led to the theft and destruction of a major cultural establishment. All the museums, the libraries, the government buildings have been looted. Stuff's been dragged out. Archaeologists around the world are grieving at the loss of thousands of ancient objects from the National Museum in Baghdad, regarded as the world's major repository of artifacts documenting the origin and development of a world civilization. And at the same time, they are criticizing the American military for not protecting the site from looters. And initial reports indicate that some of the looting might be the work of skilled professional thieves who knew the difference between priceless antiquities and the museum replicas which they left behind. Experts from various countries are banding together to come to Baghdad and investigate, hoping to recover some of the antiquities, and the U.S. is sending members of the FBI to help out. How much has Iraq and the world lost in recent looting of ancient objects, and how can we get them back? And what will this mean for the reconstruction of a newly liberated nation? That's what we're going to be talking about with our next guest. Would you like to join us? Give us a call. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Elizabeth Stone is a professor of anthropology at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. She joins us from the campus there in Stony Brook. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Stone.
Hi. Nice to be with you.
Hi there. Tony Wilkinson is an associate professor of Near Eastern Archaeology at the University of Chicago, and he joins us from Chicago. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Wilkinson.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Stone, are you familiar with any of the objects that were taken out of the buildings?
Sure.
Tell us about some of them.
Well, I mean, I think we've all, you know, a lot of the objects are objects which are going to be gracing the front pages of any illustration of history of the world. Art, I mean, things like the Uruk Lady, probably the first piece of professional sculpture ever done in the world. The Uruk Vase, about the same period. And then you go on into later objects. So that there are a series of kind of critical objects. What we don't know yet is how much of the unpublished stuff, stuff we really don't know about that may have been destroyed. I mean, for example, in the late 80s, they discovered a new library at the site of Sippar. The tablets, I think there were about 2,000 of them, were not particularly well preserved, but people were really trying to look at them. They had some very exciting stuff on them. But by and large, most of that material remains unpublished. If those are gone, then we'll never know what they said.
Dr. Wilkinson, what do you do with priceless stuff like the cuneiform tablets that were stolen? Can you sell them? I mean, how do you sell something like that?
Well, there's a ready market out there.
No kidding.
In the West, and they may not be art objects themselves, but they contain a lot of historical information, and they have become collector's items. I guess, you know, you could say that in the past that stamps aren't necessarily art items, but they have become hugely expensive in certain rare categories, and there's a real market out there for cuneiform tablets as well.
Is there any way to watch to see if these things are being, sold on the markets or in these black markets?
Well, I think there is going to be now a much more careful eye from all international organizations on the illegal art market. But what we need is not just a general oversight. We need some immediate action to within Iraq itself to try to monitor the borders as much as is humanly possible and have some way that can either intercept these objects or encourage people to bring them forward.
Now, Dr. Stone, is it not true that there was looting that occurred after the first Gulf War in 91?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, there were a lot of the regional museums were looted, not all of them, and about 4,000 objects were taken. The sad thing is that only a handful of those 4,000 ever emerged that we know about on the illegal art market. Now, either you've got people who have them and bought them in even darker subterranean channels that we don't know about, or they got destroyed, and that's one of the real problems, is that in addition, for every object that actually makes it to the international art market, there are probably tens, hundreds that people decide at some point they're better destroyed than doing the risk of moving it, because you're talking about a trade that is illegal and operates in very much the same way as the illegal drug trade. So there are certain risks that people are taking, and they're not. Sometimes they'll decide that this object, although important, isn't worth the trouble.
We've heard reports that this is, I don't want to say an inside job, but, you know, a professional job, that they knew what some of these very valuable objects, the people knew what they were doing when they stole them. They weren't just random lootings going on.
I think that's really clear. I mean, apparently they showed up with glass cutters and various kinds of tools to open the cases. They either, there are mixed reports about the keys, that they either knew where the keys to the vaults were kept, or they had them already, some people are saying. One of the odd things about the international art market is it is as I say, illegal, but the people who are buying it are some of the richest people in the world, and that's one of the real problems, that they can have a lot of clout. And if you're talking about somebody working in the museum who, especially since the Gulf War, has been earning a pittance, I mean, even the director of the museum, when I saw him in 84, he said his salary would buy him 20 eggs, and that was it. You know, it doesn't take very much to get somebody to perhaps turn a blind eye. In the same way as when people are bringing drugs in from Mexico, it doesn't take very much to get a border guard to go to the bathroom for a few minutes and not watch what's going on.
Tony Wilkinson, are there any harsh methods, and you don't know who stole them? I mean, is there any harsh methods that might force people to give the stuff back?
Well, I read a recent article, in fact, just today, where I think Colin Powell was cited in saying that under Iraq law, these items would still be covered by Iraqi law. Now, Iraqi law, as it was certainly saw this as being worthy of a death sentence. So, therefore, that's an extreme way of looking at it. But I think the international community, or many of us in the international community, have been looking towards having some form of amnesty with some financial incentive for people to bring things forward. But I should say, though, that I think there is a little bit of a red herring here over whether it was organized crime or not, because what the archaeologists amongst us said to the Pentagon in a number of very specific discussions was that there should be an armed guard posted at the museum at the first available opportunity, and whether it's organized crime or whether it's, you know, it's local people or whatever, an armed guard would have kept those people away.
In other words, you're saying that you had spoken with the military saying, if you go in there, please station someone there in advance.
Yes, and that message had certainly been received. My colleague Matt Gibson here at the Oriental Institute had very specific meetings with members of the Department of Defense, and there were many communications through, in fact, many different channels as well. It wasn't just one particular channel of communication. The message got through in many different ways, and so therefore we are extraordinarily concerned that this seems to have not filtered through or to have not been acted on in any coherent way.
Was it the fog of war? Was it a crack? Or was it just people didn't care? Or what do you think?
Well, we always know that in the chaos of war, there are going to be problems. But I think, and we can't hold the... excuse me, I've been talking too much recently.
It's okay.
We can't really hold the soldiers on the ground responsible. I mean, they had a huge job trying to keep order. But on the other hand, it does seem, from some of the things we're hearing, that there was, that through the chain of command, the key information on this did not get through. And this is, I think, something behind the recent resignation of Martin Sullivan from the President's Council on Cultural Heritage.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Stone, is there anything left? We heard so much. There must be some stuff that is left, no?
Well, I mean, I've got to see the footage, actually, yesterday or the day before. And, I mean, there are some things. If you look in the Assyrian Gallery that had huge stone reliefs that weigh tons, those still seem to be there. It's the small stuff that seems to be gone. The other pictures I saw, though, had one gallery where every single display case had been smashed open and there was absolutely nothing in it. And we've also seen pictures of the storage rooms, mostly the storage rooms for pottery, where there's a lot of stuff. I have not seen pictures of the storage rooms for tablets, which in some ways would almost be of more concern than the pots. So there's something left. But the question is, how do you even know what is left? And that's one of the real difficulties. And I just found out, to my dismay, that the stories in the press that there are going to be archaeologists from UNESCO and the British Museum going to Iraq to kind of assess the damage and see what the world archaeological community can do to help is not going to happen, essentially, because they're not being allowed in.
We're talking about the looting of Baghdad's treasures this hour in Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News, with Elizabeth Stone and Tony Wilkinson. You say they're not going to be let in. For what reason?
That's not clear, but I was just talking to somebody who was at the UNESCO conference, and she said that this is not happening, and so that there's no real kind of lines of communication between we, the archaeological community, and what remains of the really what was once a wonderful Department of Antiquities in Baghdad. I mean, there aren't phone lines, there aren't real linkages, and so to find out what we can do is very, very difficult without somebody getting there, and apparently, even a group representing UNESCO is not being given permission to go to Baghdad.
Tony Wilkinson, don't you have to compile a database of what was missing?
That's a good point, actually. And what we are trying to do here at the Oriental Institute in order to aid the recognition and recovery of these objects is to produce very rapidly a basic database with lots of images so that these are actually being actively communicated to the State Department now, and also these will be circulated to the Department of Defense and presumably now the FBI. And I find what Elizabeth says is extraordinarily ironic, given the fact that the FBI seems to be flooding the country, and yet the representatives of an international organization are not being let in.
So Elizabeth Stone, if you wanted to just go yourself, not the country has been liberated, you just can't go in there and check
no.
it out on your own?
No, absolutely not. It sounds I'd go tomorrow if I could. Sounds like the only way that you can do it is perhaps if you can go with a group of journalists and get yourself some press credentials.
So you liberated the country but locked up the museum.
Well, you emptied the museum,
is
what you did. If you locked it up, that would have been fine, but it's emptying it that's the problem.
The old barn door.
Yeah.
Well, too late with the barn. So where do you think you can go with it? So what, you just now just throw up your hands? What can you do?
I think, certainly one can, the measures that Tony talked about trying to get things back are obviously what one needs to try to do. What's completely incredible, for example, which I was just told, is that there's some Iraqi gold. We think some of the Nimrud gold jewelry that came from some queen's tombs right before the Gulf War may be in the National Bank, and the people in UNESCO were desperately trying to get a tank to go off and guard the National Bank, which has also been looted, to try and protect that gold if it is still there. And there were endless faxes back and forth, all of which were answered, with long, long delays. And then finally, we got other things to do, was the final answer. Now, I was just told that by somebody who's within the UNESCO group.
Hmm.
So, it just doesn't sound as though there's much help on the ground being done at all. And I think it's only today, and the looting took place a week ago, that a tank has been sent actually to sit in the front of the Iraq Museum to prevent any further pilfering.
Well, Dr. Stone, Dr. Wilkinson, thank you both for joining us. We'll certainly follow this up and talk to you later. Thanks very much. Elizabeth Stone, you're welcome, is a professor of anthropology at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and Tony Wilkinson is an associate professor of Near Eastern Archaeology at the University of Chicago. This program is produced by Annette Heist, Adrian McDonald, Clementine Wallace, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our web producer and director. And we had help today from Monte Carlos and Tom Krimkowski in San Francisco. If you'd like to write us, send your letters to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday, 1221 6th Avenue, 37th floor, New York, New York, 10020. Or you can surf over to our website, sciencefriday.com. Some of the references we talked about you might have missed today, you can go over there and surf over to that website and pick up the depleted uranium stuff and links that you were looking for before and could not get. You can also get Science Friday's Kids Connection, which are free curricula made for your schools, your teachers, your students, based on Science Friday. You can also listen to back editions of Science Friday in real audio and on audible.com. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.